Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
From their innovative practice facility to unmatched views from the fairway, the PGA of America is helping lower scores and elevate fan experiences with 5G solutions from T-Mobile for Business. Together, we're using AI-powered analytics to expand coaching tools and bringing fans closer to the pros with 5G-connected cameras. This is game-changing innovation. This is the PGA of America with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.
The Around the NFL Podcast. The history is rich.
From the Chris Wessling Podcast Studio, it's Around the NFL. Got Mark Sessler here, Greg Rosenthal, but one more hero. Yes, he did utter that immortal line at the Philadelphia County Golf Club.
County Golf.
Decades ago, it's Colleen Wolfe.
The Poconos Visitors Bureau for Inside Golf.
Can you acknowledge, Connie, because you know I love those things.
My illustrious beginning.
Can you acknowledge that you personally saw to it that that YouTube video was pulled down? Because I did look for it, and it's gone.
It's weird. It's weird. Every trace of Inside Golf is somehow off the internet.
That's not ridiculous. Fair to the golf fan.
I'm sure the listeners will find something.
I mean, like, because
there's got to be something.
A
out there.
Less advertisement for the Poconos Golf Club. I'm sure they're not going to be happy with this. And the visitor bureau. B, it's now part of the history of this program around the NFL.
Yeah.
So the history is rich right here, Colleen.
Very rich. Very rich.
Listeners, if you're out there, Colleen's trying to erase history. If you could find in our archive of episodes some of the great lines from Colleen's guest hosting job at the country club so we could reinvigorate that element into our show.
It's horrendous. There's plenty to choose from.
Or just put the video back up.
No, we'll see.
And Greg, where are the tapes? Where are the Delaware tapes?
Yeah.
Why is everyone hiding media from us,
all
Mark?
All in a vault.
I have nothing to hide, and neither do you. I don't understand the psychology behind Greg and Colleen shading their past.
That sounds like an amazing off-season podcast.
That's Mark, Mr. Open Book.
What do you want to know?
Mark!
That was good. That was good comic timing, Greg Rosenthal. We have a good ep today. Very good. It's the Tuesday show, and it is a Thursday night preview, of course, right across the sidewalk here, the Raiders and Rams. We're going to get to that. We are going to bring back one of our favorite games. I'll leave it at that.
I can't wait.
One of our legacy, just like that's a legacy drop that Colleen's trying to erase, eradicate, a legacy seg that we'll be bringing back later. Before that, though, let's do some news because there's some juicy news to hit here and bang on this Tuesday. Hit it, Gravedigger.
Well, I mean, I think we're at a crossroads. I told the team I think we're at a crossroads and kind of how we, you know, want to continue down this season.
Yes, there he is again, Mike Vrabel. After that disappointing, bitterly disappointing blowout loss to the Eagles, Vrabel pointed to his Tennessee Titans team and said, we're at a crossroads and we're going to figure out who we are. And the organization will begin this walk down one, whatever it is, what road they go down without John Robinson, the general manager, who was suddenly fired on Tuesday after seven seasons. The team later confirmed the news. Here's a little bit of their official words on the issue from Amy Adams Strunk, the chairman and CEO, chairperson, I should say. I am proud what we have accomplished in my 8 seasons of ownership, but I believe there is more to be done and higher aspirations to be met. I want to thank John for his dedicated work to set this organization on an upward trajectory, and I wish him and his family the best. Greg Rosenthal, Titans Vice President of Player Personnel Ryan Cowden will take over Robinson's duties on an interim basis. Why now? Why at all? Why are the Titans making this move in December?
We don't know yet. I've been waiting. I put a call out to the insiders, you know. Like, this is where...
I've had a couple conversations myself, Mr.
The
Rosenthal.
ATN insiders need to... No, no conversation. I did it just publicly on Twitter. I'm like, give me the real scoop here. Because the timing...
Wait, that doesn't count.
I'm just saying, like, give
He's
me the real scoop.
Because
the timing doesn't make any sense to me. That... The simplest explanation is it's a power play by Mike Vrabel. I think that seems almost understood with what's going on here, that Mike Vrabel is the guy who's sticking around and John Robinson is not. There's two men who have been in charge of the organization and one has more power than the other, and now he's going to have even more power. That's Mike Vrabel. But why Sunday night? Why Monday? Was it really that watching A.J. Brown catch passes all over you? Like, enraged Vrabel and ownership so much that made it happen? Was there something personal? Was there a confrontation between the parties? We don't know. We just don't know.
Feels a little reactionary. Like, this is a situation where Robinson was extended in the offseason in February.
Through 2027.
Exactly.
In February.
So it can't just be A.J. Brown, obviously. Like, there's got to be something more, which I think we'll come to find out. But, I mean, that was obviously a big deal, and it's coming right off the game that A.J. Brown got after them. But still, it's kind of wild.
The only connection I'd make is, what if John Robinson... through the process of, it was, you know, nettlesome negotiations with A.J. Brown, and all these other wide receivers under the same agent were moving, getting lucrative deals, and then the Titans basically got to the point where A.J. Brown didn't want to play for them. So the deal went south, and then you trade him. And if you go back to the draft footage of when they announced the trade, Mike Vrabel gets up out of his chair and looks like he's about to throw the chair, first of all. But he does a little roly-doly, like, turnaround, and he's steamed, and you can tell he's not happy. And they weren't on the same page with that. And I wonder if Amy Adams Strunk / other ownership individuals were not on the board with the thing either. And so maybe at that point there's a break between John Robinson's program building and Vrabel, if there already wasn't to begin with, and ownership. And then this happened, and it kind of was like the flare-up. If you're close to someone and something happens and you're reminded of something from the past, this was like the embarrassing exclamation point that caused a severance, that they were going to part ways probably anyways after the season, and it got too hot. Just one, because I'm with Greg, we don't know. Mike Garofolo said the more that he's talked to people, the less sense any of it makes. Albert Breer said that he's talked to people inside the Titans organization, and they were floored by it. It wasn't like other people didn't know this was going
to
come.
There's too much smoke to me, Justin Graver, our producer and resident Titans fanatic, to the A.J. Brown situation. Not just that the game just happened and it was a one-sided blowout, but the way A.J. Brown spoke frankly about wanting to stay in Tennessee and they didn't want me. And then a couple days later, the GM is gone, and I'm not saying that led directly to this, but it does maybe feel like the straw that broke the camel's back, potentially. Again, a lot we don't know, but where are you coming down on this?
Yeah, it definitely feels like A.J. Brown maybe was like the final straw, but because John Robinson built this team from a 2-14, 3-13 bottom dweller into perennially winning season. He's only ever had winning seasons. They're about to win the division for
seven
straight winning seasons.
He
under
goes
Robinson.
Back to exotic Smash Mouth.
Yes,
wow.
It does. He hired Mike Mularkey, and a lot of reports at the time where he was the general manager that took the job because they were forcing Mike Mularkey on whoever the general manager would be, and that they wouldn't get to pick their own coach. But then Robinson was instrumental in hiring Mike Vrabel, and you'd think that, I mean, every sign we've ever had out of this organization is that those two are in lockstep, and there was the video footage of Vrabel being clearly upset after the A.J. Brown trade. And so I think if you are just connecting dots with the information we have, unless there's more happening behind the scenes, that has to be the start of whatever this schism is. And Ed Werder was talking to Mike Vrabel before the Titans-Chiefs game on Sunday Night Football a few weeks ago, basically asking if the Titans' running game is the only option and if they have any other ways they can move the offense. And Vrabel said, this is what we have to do. Who the bleep are we going to throw to? And you look at A.J. Brown dominating the Titans' secondary last week.
A lot of smoke on that. And you think about it. Think about 2 weeks ago. We were talking about this on Sunday, Mark. So we're like, I was saying, you know, let's hold tight on the Titans and burying them. Not that you guys were, but because how recently – two Thursday nights ago when they beat Green Bay 27-17 at Lambeau and they're 7-3. It's just so strange to me that we could get so quickly from there to a narrow loss to Cincinnati, to a blowout loss to Philly, and everything that happened with Brown, and now the GM's out. It just kind of whiplash how quickly things have changed in Tennessee and what happens going forward. It really is. I mean, Vrabel, he told us on Sunday, this is a crossroads moment. It really does feel for this organization now where they are going down the stretch.
I just think that if there's one area where there's a void of information for most of us covering the game, for people watching, is the in-house dynamics between coaches and GMs and some of these other people. We just don't know. And so we didn't have that information. We still don't. But there's no way this just started like a couple days ago because of just that result against the Eagles.
And when we're hearing that everyone seems confused, like inside the league and inside the building, to me, that makes me more suspicious that it's a personal thing, especially when if you connect some dots. Look, Vrabel's got friends in the media. In general, you can usually hear things sort of from the Mike Vrabel perspective. And yet this time it's kind of radio silent. And it's a tale as old as like football time. Coach front office disagrees. At some point, one guy hires the other. John Robinson hired Mike Vrabel. And at some point, the power dynamics change or they don't change or they work together. And at this point, Vrabel certainly got more juice. We don't need to question that he's the most important person in this organization other than the owner. And for whatever reason, you can be sure that this move isn't happening unless Mike Vrabel is pushing for it. Yeah. I think, and unless someone is pushing back like Mike Vrabel against that, then that's what I'll assume.
And I'll just say it, like, if A.J. Brown goes 4-61 in a 21-17 Titans win on Sunday, I think John Robinson's still the GM.
Wow. He's still employed.
This is too weird for
this to play out
this
way. Based on what we know, I'd agree with you, but we could find out something completely different that blows this entire conversation.
But it's just like the A.J. Brown, and you agree, I know, Justin, the A.J. Brown decision wasn't just any personnel decision. It changed fundamentally so much about that team and what they could do, and seeing him thrive the way he has with the best team in football.
And it was dumb in the moment. We killed it in the moment.
Well, I'll say this.
Yeah,
also,
everyone was shocked when that happened.
Right, and Vrabel comes from Belichick. I'm not saying that they're alike in any way, but like, it was a move that allowed the player to control the team and the Titans. The negotiations, the front office, it made Vrabel look like he couldn't control the situation with the player. I don't think that's a coach that likes that dynamic.
Robinson always ranked pretty high in those GM rankings I do every year. Oh. He's always like sneaky. You're like, oh, okay, the first round picks have struggled since Jeffrey Simmons, although he did draft Jeffrey Simmons, A.J. Brown, and David Long in the same draft, and Amani Hooker. I mean, that's a
2019 was a killer class.
That's a home run draft.
Yeah.
And he's had some bad top of the draft picks lately, Caleb Farley, and their offensive line hasn't improved a lot. But for the most part, it's like they've built a team that you know who they are. They're big, strong, and tough. They're not good up front right now on the offensive line, but it's like Robinson did a pretty good job, I think, bringing in talent.
I'd like to see Vrabel driving around, you know, Nashville, listening to this show a couple hours from now, and being like, I agree with that. They don't know what they're talking about. That was a good point. I agree with that. Not, they don't have the whole story.
That's for the Mark bot.
It seems to me that Amy Adams Strunk is not satisfied with winning the division three times in a row. AAS.
I get that, but it's just week 14.
That's, it is.
If
but
this
also,
happened after the season, after
true.
Another first round loss, it's a different
true,
story.
True, but the timing of it is kind of important because the college all-star circuit's about to start. This is what the time of the year where you have all the tape on the college prospects now because the college football season is just about ending, and they got to gear up and get ready for a draft. And if you don't trust John Robinson's roster construction, which was the main point that Amy Adams Strunk noted in that statement, was that the roster construction direction is not what we think.
Good luck with finding something.
Graydon has an in with AAS, based on pre-show conversation.
What did he say?
You guys have talked. She just complimented
your work.
I met her
once, and she told me she liked my Twitter videos, which was a really cool moment as a fan.
At a time like this, the franchise and your podcast in crisis, and we're talking about personal meetings.
What's the name of that podcast again?
Do we have the About Me drop?
I have it. Yeah, you want to play
Think about what's happened for the Titans since about 11 p.m. Central Time in Wisconsin.
It's about me.
Todd Downing gets a DUI. They get beat by 4 points by the Bengals. They get the doors blown off by the Eagles, and A.J. Brown goes off and then talks about it after the game, and then the GM gets fired. Wow.
Darkness.
Oh, but Strunk loves Graver's video, so everything's great.
That's also good. When I jumped on the Titans bandwagon, right around the time that Todd Downing was having night on the town, or on the plane, then on the town.
Mark's on thin ice with the Titans fans right now.
I didn't intend it to be that
really?
Way.
Really?
You have 1 foot in two bandwagons, the Colts and the Titans, and they're both literally in flames.
I don't have a foot in the Colts bandwagon.
They hate each other. Those two teams hate each other.
All right. Speaking of things Mark was connected to that turned into poison, Baker Mayfield.
What a seg. Seg of the year right there.
He is no longer connected to an NFL team. He has been waived by the Carolina Panthers, the team that brought him in for a conditional fifth-round draft pick in July. He beat out Sam Darnold in the summer for the starting gig.
Sam Darnold.
And then immediately struggled with the team, lost five of his six starts, had an injury. And when he found out now with Darnold, now the starter, P.J. Walker, the backup, when he was told he would not be starting or a backup, he requested to be waived. And the Panthers are like, see you later. Good luck. So he hits now, Mark, the waiver process. There are some teams you could think of that could use a quarterback right now, including one in San Francisco. We'll see what happens, where he lands.
Pretty one across the street. We might find out during the show. Wouldn't be surprised if we had a little developing news.
There is some birdies talking about Baker ending up with the Rams, but his time with the Panthers ends. He doesn't even make it through this season. I mean, his career has had a very dark trajectory itself.
Yeah, I mean, the 49ers just signed Josh Johnson a day after Shanahan kind of shot down the idea that he said he liked Baker Mayfield, like any coach would say, but probably not going to shake things up. So I would personally take them off the list. I don't know why you'd do that. Maybe the Rams. I think Baker Mayfield was, according to Joe Person of The Athletic, it sounded like he was getting the push more from Matt Rhule. And so post-Matt Rhule, where Steve Wilks, you know, had interest in other quarterbacks playing, and there was the whispers right when Matt Rhule got fired that there was an interest inside the building of seeing Sam Darnold again before the season ended. That I kind of get that, like, Baker Mayfield, you know, did want his out of this, but I don't think it has anything to do with Baker Mayfield wanting him out, his way out. He saw that the team did not have any interest in him in the future, and I don't know what his future is. I would just say that he signed a $21 million signing bonus. He's made additional money. He doesn't need the money. And how many first overall picks are content to go through the toil and the grind of being a backup or even fighting for a backup job after that's how you got into the league? I just don't think there's that many, and that doesn't feel like...
We work with one, David Carr, but that is notable because it's an exception.
Yeah, but then if you want to throw in the Baker Mayfield personality and stuff, that's very different than David Carr. And
Mark, like how this played out with... And I'm not killing him. This isn't going to be kill Baker about this, but the fact that a guy that's, you know, buried on a depth chart for a bad team that's had a bad year, he's in the news because he told the team he doesn't want to be there anymore if he's not going to be active on. There is something to be said for Baker. You're playing poorly. You played poorly for 2 years. Just be quiet and wait till the end of the season and then hit the open market and try to resurrect your career. Instead, he's back in the news for wanting to be disconnected from another team. And I just wonder, and I've talked about this, I know Baker has had more success than a guy like Sam Darnold, for instance.
Oh, you love this take is aged like the best wine. Darnold. You know, you're breaking out this take.
The Pecorino
is
a
great take.
And this is not going to be Darnold, you know, is better than Baker. I'm just saying, I wonder what his market even as a backup will be, even if he wants to be that guy.
I don't think it's great because of the extra
Because is this
pedigree.
Even a good look behind the scenes? What do GMs think about him having this conversation and wanting to be waived in the middle of December?
I don't even think it really matters that he said that he wanted a change, because it's clear to me that as soon as PJ Walker was good to go to be the backup for Sam Darnold, that they were just going to be like, okay, it doesn't make sense to have Baker Mayfield here if he's going to be inactive. And then you look at, I mean, forget even this season, Baker Mayfield next year with all the quarterback free agents that are going to be on the market. I mean, Lamar Jackson, Tom Brady, Jimmy G, Geno, Daniel Jones. I mean, you have like
a lot of different guys, and it's like, well, I don't think Baker Mayfield is necessarily better than any of them, so it's going to be tough for him.
I'm glad you brought that up because I'm starting to work on a 2023 free agents list. We're doing like an early top 50 in a couple weeks, and I had done one back in August, and Baker Mayfield was ranked third among the prospective quarterbacks in August, like way ahead of Geno, of course, and ahead of Daniel Jones, and ahead of Jacoby Brissett, certainly. And now you think about where Baker Mayfield would be, and he probably won't make the top 101 because I don't know if he fits as a backup, like you said. Right, and this is a chance for another team to take on what's actually a reasonably big size salary, a $5 million salary. So they actually have to pay him halfway decent money, $2 million for the next 5 weeks or whatever it is. If you amortize it out, I don't know if anyone necessarily claims
love that.
You are well read, Greg Rosenthal.
Amortize. What are you doing? Investing?
I don't even know if
show?
That was the right word.
You
know what? Never. Just keep going.
Yep.
No one knows if it's the right word, so you just sound like you know.
And you know what?
Right.
Bad job by the host, the old Zeuser.
Just let it roll. Uh-huh.
Because if I don't say anything,
right.
The audience is like, oh, they all know what he means too.
Yeah,
just operating at a higher level.
Right. Right. It's clear you don't know what it means. People can just connect the dots and assume that Colleen and Mark have no concept of what
it means.
I could
just say context clues. I think I know what that meant, but the word itself might as well been sent from Mars.
A foreign
I've seen
word
it. I've
a
seen it
place.
Before. I've read it before.
Sure.
I've never actually used it. I don't think before. So
I think he made it up.
I don't think
it's
it
a
was,
new goal.
I don't think it was really correct. It was really. I just needed to average it out.
And you know, we do have a lot of takes on this show, Greggy, and wrong all the time. When you do get one right,
you gradually write off the reset. Initial.
Oh no, you're right. Yeah. To be clear, your take was that look. If Baker was in the same situation as Darnold, he wouldn't have looked any better. And you're right. And it makes me even rethink Kevin Stefanski. A little bit. That Stefanski did so well with Baker. They had a Super Bowl worthy offense with Baker. And then even a year ago, and now you see what he does with Jacoby Brissett, who's an upgrade from Baker. And you think like, okay, Stefanski.
Well, he was made coach of the year. So I think a lot of people did, you know, give him his flowers, Greg, as you're wont to say.
We're not allowed to say that.
Money in the flowers jar.
Not allowed to say that, Mark.
Money in the jar.
Mark?
You of all people, Mark.
I have one thing to tell you, Dan, by the way.
Yes.
Had Darnold been the week one starter, he'd be on the street right now, too. I think anyone who played that role.
I don't think so.
Well, that's my conceit.
Because if nothing else, Darnold might not be a good quarterback, but he's a good soldier.
Well, he wouldn't say a word. You're right. He has zero personality, so that helps.
I can see Darnold being a backup for a long time, and whereas Baker, I don't know if it's going
to work. Where did being a flashy personality get Baker Mayfield in the end? Got him some commercials.
I think I've already agreed with your that Baker Mayfield's too big of a headache at this point. But I think Darnold
is
far under the radar personality wise that probably helps him. Like anyone in a faceless corporation, just float on, on and collect your paychecks, punch your time card, have a nice time.
A big winner in all this though is Progressive. Because Baker was pushing hard to keep those commercials going.
They're like, we got to go.
And if they had said yes this year, which I think would have been reasonable, they were extremely popular commercials, as commercials go, now he would be moving again, and now he's a problem. Like they would have to redo the whole thing.
That's
good material, though. I'm sure they could figure something out.
He could be at home. He could literally be at home now, not in a stadium pretending.
Right.
This is when insurance comes in handy.
You're a great host, Connie, in your own right.
Uh-huh. This feels like a shot.
I know you liked the last seg.
Mm-hmm.
Get ready for this one.
Okay.
The Browns should not have taken Baker Mayfield. The Jets should not have taken Sam Darnold. You know who those teams should have taken? The number 32 overall pick in that draft, Lamar Jackson.
Seg, seg, yep. Seg, seg.
Who is obviously the star quarterback of the Ravens, a former MVP, the team's only hope to get to the Super Bowl. And now he's likely out of the lineup. He suffered that knee injury that knocked him out of the win over the Broncos on Sunday. And John Harbaugh seemed to be playing the game a little bit while also acknowledging that we ain't having him on the field in week 14 at the very earliest.
I would say it's kind of week to week. You know, it's going to be a weekly thing. So as the week goes on, we'll see for this week. It's probably less likely for this week, but it's not impossible. And then after that, it'll become more and more likely.
Mark, can I just say that we just looked at that press conference with John Harbaugh? We've been doing this a long time.
Yeah.
We were talking before the show because Charlie Sheen comes up every week on this show.
Somehow.
In the studio. That we were in the old newsroom in Culver City when the Sheen madness went down in that summer of 10. Remember when John and Jim went to the Super Bowl the same year.
Did the press conference
and
together?
And did the press conference, yeah, yeah. And the old man was there?
Yeah.
John now, you know, 10, 11 years later, you're starting to see him look more like the old man.
I guess that's what happens. It happens to you.
It
happens literally to you in your own life.
The passage of time.
Yeah. He's looking at like a, he's more stately. I thought he was wearing that sweat. I was just looking at the sweatshirt he was wearing. It's got to be cold in Baltimore, and they're just very cozy. You just wear that for like 3 days straight and don't even shower.
But how about that passage of time?
I do agree that the passage of time is.
He is 60 years old. Mark Sanchez pointed that out during a broadcast.
Not Mark Sanchez.
It was alarming.
John Harbaugh is a young 60 years old.
Oh, Joe Buck.
God. Gravedigger just destroyed you there. He sniped you.
The Alliance. No, I like accuracy.
The Alliance.
I don't false alliance.
I don't want Greg to look like he doesn't know.
No, I take it as a compliment that we're a news
but
information.
He had the drop ready.
I mean, he got to it quickly.
Remember Macho Man and Hulk Hogan? The mega powers explode over Elizabeth?
Yep.
Well, that's what just happened here.
Yep. We're stronger than that.
We had a great Monday night.
It's embarrassing for you, Greg.
Oh, that's a good point. Graver helped me out with the Monday night recap. Last night.
Oh,
fun
yeah?
game. Those Bucks.
Well, it's all over now.
Never say die.
Well, it was. Never say die game for the Bucks. Let's focus on Lamar Jackson, though.
Sure.
Does this team have any shot if he's going to miss extended time? Because everybody loves to talk about how they have a really good backup in Ty Huntley, but they did lose four of five down the stretch here, Connie, last year. Are they just going to repeat that? If this happens again and Lamar misses extensive time?
And we talked a little bit about this on the Power Rankings podcast,
plug,
which you guys can check out and subscribe to and tell all your friends about.
Plug.
But this does have shades of 2021 all over it. And the Ravens were struggling on offense before with Lamar Jackson. So now they have Tyler Huntley, who's just a less dynamic Lamar Jackson. I mean, it is helpful that they don't have to change the offense a ton because he can move around with his legs. He is a similar style, but just not as good as Lamar Jackson. But that's going to be tough for them now because I didn't feel good about them for a while.
Same.
They're at Pittsburgh, at Cleveland, and then Atlanta. I would think, based on the way Harbaugh was talking, Lamar Jackson would be back either during that stretch or after it. That's a manageable stretch. But, I mean, I look at them as underdogs this week. I don't think they're a consistent running team with Lamar. They just don't have – they're just so short on weapons. Everything we said about the Packers, that everyone was so worried about this year, like you can multiply that with the Ravens passing attack. Duvernay doesn't look as explosive as he used to. They really don't have a wide receiver. They just have Mark Andrews and now a backup quarterback.
Maybe Eric DaCosta should just be fortunate that Mike Vrabel isn't his head coach.
Well,
and
I think the Ravens have also...
But so are the Titans.
Super Bowl rings, you know, there's...
Well, we can get that.
I don't think it'll be like last year with them falling out of the playoffs, but the Bengals
have to feel pretty good if they don't have playmakers they could trust to help the backup quarterback, and we've seen that defense crumble in crunch time multiple times this year. Like, what's there?
Well, I think the thing is,
if
you're going to get Lamar back in like 3 weeks, say, right?
Need him back.
Let's say you take 2 of 3 against Pittsburgh, Cleveland, Atlanta, which is very feasible.
Mm.
You're fine. And also Tyler Huntley, I don't think is a bad backup, man. I think Tyler Huntley, I'm not saying he's perfect, but the one thing they have going for him is they don't have a totally different type of quarterback that they're inserting in their offense, which is already limited.
Do you think 2 of 3 is the more likely scenario?
Well, I already told you they're not winning the division, so they're trying to sneak in as a wild card. We'll see. I mean,
told me that.
Yes, I said the Bengals on Sunday night are winning the division.
Not
you have to remember everything Mark says opinion-wise on football. That's true for me too. You have to remember every take I've had.
I would say it's
50-50, Dan. Those three games, I think it's 50-50 whether they go 2-1 or 1-2.
That's good analysis. You know, everything in life is 50-50.
I think they'll lose in Pittsburgh and then at Browns. Falcons, decent chance you can sweep those, but it wouldn't surprise me if they lost one.
You may be dealing with Desmond Ridder by the time they play the Falcons. I
am looking into the crystal ball. 2 out of 3, they drop.
Yikes. And Lamar, it could be a one-week injury. They say PCL injuries are like 1 to 3 weeks. We'll see.
That's what Zach Wilson had a year ago.
Finally in the news, this Odell story is turning into farce.
It's just never going
to
end.
It just is. I mean, is it getting a little bit funky smelling to anyone else at this point? Beckham, who's going on the free agent tour, he's all over the place, but he's not working out for anybody, and he still wants to get a deal that signs him through 2023. That doesn't quite add up for me. And Cowboys owner Jerry Jones said he's, quote, not confident at all in Odell Beckham's knee health. Let's hear what he said on KRLD in Dallas recently.
You know, I just think this is an opportunity that is rare because of his availability. There's going to be one way or the other. There's not a failure here. I'm talking about the actual signing or not signing. There's not disappointment here. If this thing works, it'll improve this team now. It'll improve it this year. If we don't have that, then we're in a positive situation as well. It has to improve us now. That's a pretty tall order. And
I've always enjoyed that Jera always says 300 words when 50 would do fine.
Not only this year, but as it impacts the years
word
to come.
Word economy is not his thing.
The financial aspect.
He was the best, speaking of the old newsroom days.
Oh, I know what you're going to say.
Right. Yeah. His cadence is so halting that he's the one guy that you can transcribe without having to stop your recorder over and over again.
When also he would do that radio show every week, and so no matter what he'd say, he could do a nursery rhyme, and we post a news story about it because it was the Cowboys. Mm-hmm. And those long quotes, you have to sit there and transcribe. It'd take like 45 minutes for, to your point, that he just wanders left and right.
But there'd be no punctuation.
No.
It's all just dot, one dot, sentence dot. That keeps going up and down.
Semicolon, ellipses, parentheses.
Anyway,
he really takes you behind the curtain.
Yeah.
Ralph Vacchiano also reported that there is, quote, considerable doubt that Beckham can even return to play this year. So
What are you doing?
That explains everything. His first ACL.
Well, not everything. I don't know what happened on that plane, but most things.
No, that's not explained. He was at the Mavericks game. I don't know if you saw it last night.
I know he's having a good time.
But if you're not healthy, why are they putting these teams through this? I mean, I know that it's everything's about yourself in this world right now, but it's like you're OBJ and you're flying around, you're not healthy, and teams are discovering that on the fly. You're wasting everyone's time.
Yeah, he is wasting our time. Let's move on. Breaking news.
What?
Hello! I love when it happens during the show, so we're not lamenting it on text immediately after. Baker Mayfield has been claimed by the Los Angeles Rams.
Ooh.
The Rams, who have sent, of course, Matthew Stafford to IR with that neck issue. They have John Wolford at quarterback.
He's also hurt. He got hurt late in that game.
So Wolford's banged up, and they need a body. This... maybe not put too much into economy. This is a team that needs a warm body, and Baker is that. But Baker in Los Angeles looks like it's a thing.
Yeah, and well, if the Niners didn't already sign someone, I would have thought immediately that this was just a move to block Baker from going to the Niners.
I love that.
Because that's how my petty brain works.
But wouldn't it help the Rams?
It also helps
to put Baker
too.
On it. Team.
But more so,
right?
Vengeance.
By the way, the amortized amount, which again might not be the right word, mm-hmm. $1.35 million, which they'll have to pay the rest of the year. It's about next year.
Let me Google this. Greg make up the word?
No, I mean it's a
amortized.
Real word. I don't know if I'm using it well. It means like averaging out your mortgage.
Or something,
right? Let's explore this topic again.
No, it's not. I don't like what they did at ESPN, sending out Baker in a Rams uniform. It's clearly John Wolford, and they put.
Which
you know.
Doesn't seem.
Did Wolford give
it's
his
a human
permission,
rights move.
Right?
And
to use his body in that way, to put his body below Baker's.
Can't believe we're still doing the news. By
head. This is crazy.
This podcast is never going to end.
I don't think this move happens if Matthew Stafford isn't potentially done in terms of his career. This is a 2023 move. They have to see. They want to see if Baker Mayfield could potentially be part of the mix next year. Either competing for a job or a backup or anything else.
I hope they're not putting too many eggs in this Baker basket, though.
No, they're not.
Based
it's
on
free.
Everything we've been talking
it's
about.
It's a free, you know, yeah. just
We can
yeah.
now see them out on the town, though. Like, there was a period where there were Baker Mayfield billboards in Los Angeles that everyone was making fun of on text.
It really threw me when I saw it on the 405. It just didn't make any sense to me. Why? You have Matthew Stafford here in town. You have other athletes and celebrities
it didn't
here
make
in town.
A lot
Why
of
do you
sense.
Have Baker Mayfield on the side of the 405?
Well, now it does.
You named famously your son Colt after Colt McCoy. Imagine you had a son that lined up with Baker's draft.
No,
that is a pretty decent chance. Baker Sessler would have been a thing.
No, I stopped draft or naming children after Browns quarterbacks after one of them.
Well, I'm just saying, but in
it was
another
also my last child.
Universe. Could have been Johnny Sessler, too. That would have been
Johnny's
even worse.
A great
Manziel.
Name.
Jacoby. Jacoby, if it was like a week seven baby this year, you know, before the
Jacoby
change.
Jacoby Sessler. I kind of like that. Kind of a good name. Works a little bit.
Anyway.
There's still a chance.
So we're talking Beckham. We're talking Mayfield. Let's talk about some guys that matter when we get back. That's what's happening in the news.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day. And smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire. With the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
From the Chris Wesseling Podcast Studio in Inglewood, California, it's America's favorite game show,
What's More Likely?
All right, welcome back. Wow. This is a this studio audience is hyped for one of the, I call them a legacy segs of ATN. Just
this like certainly is.
The legacy drop from the Philly Country Club that we will.
Poconos
that we will resurface in time. But right now we're going to focus on what's more likely as we look at. There are 5 weeks remaining, ladies and gentlemen, in the regular season. And we are going to lay out two different scenarios. And as the game title should key you in on, you amortize it.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And you have a what's more likely scenario. So let's get it going. Who wants to start? Here we go. Colleen will get us going.
I knew it. I'm ready.
Colleen
I
Wolf
love a game show.
From Philadelphia, okay. PA.
Here we go.
Cue the applause.
I'll wait. All right.
There you go.
There we go. So after a season drenched in turmoil and chaos, both Nathaniel Hackett and Steve Wilks return as head coaches next season.
Other one.
Or both Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers ghost the Greybeards and return for at least another season as starters with their current teams.
And that is the real what's more likely from a live show in London. I love that.
That's pretty good.
Sold out crowd.
I'm going to go Brady and Rodgers because I think they both love to toy, with, especially Rodgers, with this court me all off season. Every time I speak, we're going to have to you have to write a news story or talk about it on your little podcast whether everything I say. And Brady just probably does not want to go do that announcing thing right now, which sounds like something he might never do. So one more year of football, maybe not with the Bucks, but with a whole different team.
Yeah, but she said it had to be the same team. Mm-hmm.
I'll even say Bucks.
You wonder if without digging into the man's personal life, how much of that I'm agreeing to do the announcing thing, I'm setting that up, was in deference to amortize his wife.
Sure.
You know, and to get
I
her
don't think
and
that children. Works.
What?
None of it works.
What?
I would say the family structure and the future of the Brady
Absolutely.
Family.
Absolutely. And you wonder now his life is in a very different place, obviously, than where it was when he signed that Fox deal. I'll say this, living in the moment, but that's what we do on the show sometimes, that Hackett is gone. I mean, he's as
Obviously.
Good as gone.
That's what really makes this
one
tough.
And Rodgers, I really think a strong finish from Rodgers, and I think it matters in a way. I was thinking about this. The Christian Watson turning into a big star potentially here.
Yeah.
That gives them something to have hope. And then Rodgers can talk with management and say, all right, now go get me a big receiver. I pair him with Watson, make some fixes on this D, and let's go for it again. I that wouldn't surprise me. And Brady's not going anywhere. That's way more likely
wow.
to me.
Really? I think it's more likely Rodgers and Brady, but let's break it down. Hackett.
Gone.
He gone. And that's why that's
but what
less
about
likely.
Wilkes?
Wilkes got a real chance. I think it might be even close to 50-50, especially if they win three out of the last five. I think he's back. And I think there's a chance they do win three out of the last five. So he's got a chance, but Hackett just eliminates that. Rodgers, that's close to 50-50 as well. I think how Jordan Love plays will be an interesting thing to watch. I think they'll want to see. But ultimately, I would lean that that's higher than 50-50. He returns. Brady, I think it's way lower than 50-50 that he's on the Bucs. I think he's playing football and that he's a free agent. And there's little in Tampa, to me, that would indicate that he would want to go back there.
So
I don't think does he seem like he's having
fun? He's
going
to be on a new team.
I think the Las Vegas Raiders make a lot of sense for Tom Brady, but I think there could be other teams.
What about the Patriots?
No. Thrown out in just a random, like, throw things against
Well, you know what? I love that soundbite because yeah. it's just this. Greg is absolutely certain of the future, and the NFL
it's
is so
opinion.
Bizarre. No, it's so – the NFL is so bizarre that when that happens, we'll just play that 1,000 times because it's not – it's nothing's out of – nothing would surprise
you guys,
me.
You haven't been this mad about a take since I said I didn't want Russell Wilson
no,
over Mac Jones.
No, it's just the definitive knowledge
when
of
right,
it where
right.
it's like we
I
don't know
it.
What will happen. Like, he could go
Sessler
anywhere.
I'm not
wild
definitive.
Eyes.
It's yeah. an opinion, but I think if you think about the two men involved, Tom Brady and Bill Belichick – I just don't think they're going to want to work together again and go through that all again.
Or they can say F you to everyone that has thought they can't get along and they go back and win another AFC title.
I'm going to have to ask Seth Wickersham on that one. But I think Rodgers and Brady's play football again next year. Where they end up landing, whatever, that feels like a coin flip, but Hackett. And
I really just wanted to see the temperature on Steve Wilkes. Because I think he has a shot.
Well, I thought about including Wilkes in my next one. So, and then he wasn't at the last second because of a result from last night.
All right, go ahead.
But I'm going to throw it
transition.
Out there here.
Not as good as my transitions from earlier in the show.
Not
well,
the year.
He wasn't
sorry,
even
Greg.
Trying. I was
no,
just saying,
nice
let's go.
You've been amortized. Go ahead.
All right. The Raiders.
You've been amortized.
have won two straight. They're at 5-7. They're two back of the Jets. They would probably have to take the Jets out of the playoffs if they get in. The Raiders end up making the playoffs, or the team of around the NFL, Detroit Lions, who would have a five-game winning streak right now, if not for a beautiful throw by Josh Allen, make the playoffs.
Well, let's start with the schedules. And you know, Zeuser's been pumping up the rate. Thank you. Zeus has been pumping up the Raiders as a team that could surprise people and get back in the mix. If they get the Rams win, that gets them to 6-7. If then they go host New England, winnable, at Pittsburgh, winnable. All of a sudden, the home game that we just checked off as a loss against San Francisco, well, let's see. Let's see what the quarterback can do in San Francisco. And then home against Kansas City. Who knows what's on the line then. So the Raiders have a path to 9-8, I think. And then the other team is the Lions.
They have a pretty soft schedule.
Let's take a look at the Lions. The Lions
the
also 5-7. They have home against Minnesota. We talked about this on Power Rankings, Connie. It is so imperative, Greggy, that the Lions win on Sunday against the Vikings. Because if they don't, that's the eighth loss, and it's just not happening. But if they do, I do think they do grab that last spot in the wild card playoffs. So I'm going to say the Lions are more likely, but it all hinges on the favored, by the way, Detroit Lions beating the 10-2 Vikings.
I don't like Kirk Cousins calling this already a hat and t-shirt game because they win the division if they win the game. Don't
you
say
like or
that.
Don't, oh, you don't like
I do not like that.
But it is.
Yeah, but you don't. Why go throw around that verbally? Just let it be under the surface. We know that is. I'm going Lions.
Well, the Lions have a big game every week, right? And their next game is against the New York Jets.
Hamada.
Yeah.
In the Meadowlands at Carolina, and then home for Chicago and in Green Bay. So those are all winnable games.
Those last three.
There's a better chance that a 9-8 team gets the 7 seed, I believe, in the NFC rather than the AFC.
Starting to seem possible in the AFC, though,
I think
Greggy.
The Lions are a little better than the Raiders, and I think the 9-8 team making it is more possible.
I could see
the
Lions winning 3 in a row, getting us very jazzed up. And then losing two games they absolutely
don't
have no business
it.
Losing.
No.
He never was on board.
Never on the train. Pretends he's on the train.
I'm either one, and if not them, the Raiders. Like this overvaluing
the
Raiders.
Daddy, you know, was giving us pats
Damn it,
on the
Mark.
Head with the Lions, and then but he doesn't really believe in us.
I think it's amazing that you think I have that power. I'm just suggesting that's possible.
The team of
possible.
ATN, we don't consider scenarios of them gagging then down the stretch.
Then they'll go 5-0 and they beat your Jets. Like that's
I
you're
believe
up for
in the
that?
Lions. Just like to be consistent here, I said that the Lions are going to make the playoffs on power rankings.
Okay. You sure did.
But I do think they will, just based on the momentum they have right now. They started 1-6, but a lot of those games were close. Then they reeled off 3 straight wins. They lost by 3 points to the Bills on Thanksgiving, so they almost had that one. Then they crushed the Jags. I think they can do it.
Can I just say, Mark, I don't want to be too passionate about the Lions thing, but this tank, this team of ATN tank, runs on positivity and optimism.
Yeah, but I'm not going to be controlled by I'm not going to be told what I have to do from a fan's perspective. That's absurd. Why do you need to control someone else's emotions?
I'm
just
saying.
It hurts.
I don't believe you have anything inside of you
in the mentions,
to begin with. So.
We hear in the mentions the Lions fans who
I don't want to hear about
say
the manufactured
that,
emotions.
That is, I think, where this is coming from, because we're hearing a lot in the mention from Lions fans who said, thank you, Dan. Thank you, Greg, for believing in us all along. And then there's that other guy.
That's unbelievable. But
I mean, it's not even like the minute I walk out of this studio, it isn't even water. It's evaporated into complete mist.
Into mist. All right. So let's transition to the if we're talking NFC, let me just throw another one out there, because we're all penciling in certain teams in the NFC. Oh, they have a spot. So you can't, like a team like the Lions. Oh, they can only get the 7th spot. They can never get. There's no way there's multiple wild card spots there to be had by week 8. Amortize this, amortize that. How about this? Brock Purdy goes full Warner and goes with the 49ers all the way to the Super Bowl.
Ooh.
And can you imagine his media night scrum?
Wow.
The chum in the waters for that human interest story. Oh, Mr. Irrelevant. Quite the contrary, isn't it, Brock?
You'll be tired of it by then.
What a story it would be, though.
Or, and why I bring it up, the Niners crater with an overburdened neophyte QB. And they are fighting for their playoff lives come week 18 versus the Cardinals. Now, you're going to say that's ridiculous. The Niners are too good. They're so balanced on both sides of the ball. Kyle Shanahan's going to figure it out. Brock Purdy was the final pick in the draft. He is a 7th round rookie who has all of a sudden been thrust into a Super Bowl competition, a race. This is not where he was supposed to. It's not fair to ask Brock Purdy to be successful in this situation. If he does, it's an amazing story. But you look at this remaining schedule. Tampa Bay up next. I don't know what to make of the Bucs, let's be honest. But they are not going to be an easy game. That's not an
good
easy
D,
win.
Bad O. They seem simple.
At Seattle. We know Seattle is a tough game, especially on the road. Okay. Home Washington. All right, you're the favorite there. Washington has to travel. But Washington's a tough – those some tough SOBs there on the Commanders. At Vegas. We just talked about the Raiders. That's a team that is playing well. So is it possible – what's their record right now?
8-4?
Is it possible that they run into a lot of turbulence and all of a sudden need that win against the Cardinals? What's more likely?
I mean, you're asking what's more likely. I know what I want to happen. I think Brock Purdy – running the table or getting them into the playoffs and then having a Jeff Hostetler, Kurt Warner would be the greatest sports story we've ever covered, and it probably will continue to be for the rest of our lives.
But can I just even say that? We use those those examples, Hostetler with the Giants in 90, Warner with the Rams in 2000. Like those guys, like Warner was 27, 28, who'd been through wars. He had been through, you know, other arena league and all that stuff. Hostetler was a young backup. This guy is a raw green rookie with
right.
no
well,
experience.
I believe you used Warner in your example. That's why
I'm saying like even that, even those don't exactly track to what we're asking Brock
that's,
Purdy
that's
to do.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like I think we all would want that, but I think it's much more likely that the Niners, who were a couple weeks ago just sitting at 6-4 before they beat a bad Saints team, and then the Dolphins thing happened, it's much more likely that as well coached as they are, and they have a lot of strengths, that they're basically playing four potential playoff teams over the rest of the schedule, then would need to go and play the gauntlet of three NFC teams, if not four, to get to the Super Bowl. It's much more likely that they crater. I don't think that will happen. You think it's more likely that that Brock Purdy wins a Super Bowl?
Of those two options, I kind of liked what I saw out of Purdy there. We've seen Kyle Shanahan coach up offensive talent. I'm assuming he's not going to carry the load. I'm trying to think of an example, like you mentioned, of a quarterback being carried along. Tom Brady in 2001 as a second-year player who was drafted in the sixth round and certainly wasn't
an
above-average.
Jimmy G was kind of carried along
right.
the year they went to the Super
Bowl. Wasn't an above-average starter. Even that's a little bit of a
stretch.
And
when you're using Tom Brady as the example, it's like a once-in-a-lifetime right. situation the way that played out.
That's fair. But I still think it's the 49ers making the Super Bowl. But what if it wasn't Brock Purdy starting in the Super Bowl? What if there was a Brady Bledsoe controversy? Because I've got some developing news. That's
what?
Right. Hit it, Justin.
Drew Bledsoe's out of retirement? Tom Brady traded.
Sources have told ESPN's Adam Schefter that Jimmy Garoppolo does not need foot surgery. If rehab goes well, he could return in 7 to 8 weeks. Do the math. We're 5 weeks from the playoffs. It's a possibility he could contribute in the playoffs. A possibility.
So we get, you know what, that's good. That's great. I'm happy for Jimmy G.
Yeah.
But at the same time, so we're going to see a physically hampered and limited Garoppolo in January. Again,
well, also, like, let's say Brock Purdy goes 6-0 and gets you into the NFC title game. Then they do one of those things like different starter now plays super important playoff game. The thing crumbles and Jimmy G is never allowed back to San Francisco.
If Purdy gets that far, if it's really 7 to 8 weeks and they're in the divisional round, unless they've somehow gotten there with Purdy playing poorly, I feel like you'd be riding the Purdy train.
Now we can more closely follow the Brady history on that, because Brady did replace an injured Bledsoe, had the job into and through the playoffs until he got hurt in the AFC title game. Bledsoe comes off the bench, helps get him the dub, and then Brady back in the lineup for the Super Bowl. Just having Garoppolo in the building and active, that would be better than what they have. Who's backing up Brock Purdy right now?
Josh Johnson,
who they just signed today.
Just
he's been
in.
On, you know, 27 teams at this point.
If it's get to the Super Bowl with Purdy
or
maybe be fighting for a playoff spot at this point, it's fighting for a playoff spot.
Greg, that throw into the back of the end zone by Drew Bledsoe against the Steelers. Who caught it? AFC title game 2001.
Is it David Patton?
That's correct.
Huh.
Good job. I was testing you.
Wow.
Great moment. I mean, especially as someone where Bledsoe kind of ended their string of terrible quarterbacks, and so you had a lot of fondness for the man. It was a nice moment.
I'm not going to look that up to make sure it's right.
Oh. I was like,
but that's what was in my head,
host.
Too. That
just
was
a David Patton just caught one in the Super Bowl.
I might not be right. Unless he had the punt return.
That was Troy Brown.
Troy Brown. Okay. Who is up? Mark, you are up.
Wait.
All right.
Didn't you just go?
I did, but I was third.
Okay.
Don't worry about
it.
Would you like me to?
Zeuser will take
it. What did you say, David Patton? Big game player, David Patton.
Hey, the Lock.
I love Sessler.
Fathers. Unite.
That's your name at this point? I don't even recall.
We're the Lock Fathers.
No, that's right. Okay.
Let's speed it up.
Got to get out of here.
All right, Russell Wilson's camp leaks a nefarious whisper campaign that places him in a favorable light while setting up Nathaniel Hackett as an obvious fall guy. This will be fleshed out with ugly behind-the-scenes details that make Hackett look like a disorganized loon and have people suddenly empathizing with Wilson's plight. You know, this isn't being run like an NFL offense and team, etc. Russ was never given a chance and has kept a smile on his face the whole time. The vibe here is that even we are compelled to give Wilson another shot under a new staff, and he somehow escapes major blame during the very long offseason ahead. Or, and I'm not going Kyler Murray here, which seems like the obvious other side B, but no, we get reports to us, obviously coming from Mac Jones's camp, that paint the behind-the-scenes situation in New England, namely the offensive coaching staff, Matt Patricia, Joe Judge, you know, Bobbert McBobby, whoever's doing the plays over there.
That is the name.
As an absolute madhouse that leads to Mac Jones. The Patriots are described as an absolute madhouse where it's like, oh, this Belichick guy maybe just botched this whole thing. And it ends up to Mac Jones playing somewhere else in 2023. This will not work.
Ooh.
Traded, huh?
Okay, I'm definitely taking the first one because the first one was one of my sandwich props this year, which I'm feeling good about. It was the Broncos missed the playoffs, and we have a sourced report of differences between Russell Wilson and Nathaniel Hackett. And I could see that happen. You're kind of
already
seeing
it. But there's a little bit of a tint. This is also that we come out thinking that, oh, you know what? We have a feeling that Russell Wilson was kind of the good guy in all this, where he kept on a happy face, not just bad. We already get that Nathaniel Hackett's a disaster.
Right. We haven't had those reports yet, and Hackett's probably gone. We have seen a little bit of that, I think, pushback in Denver about how Russell Wilson, including from his teammates, has handled everything. Not like he's been unprofessional. He's trying his best and all that stuff. But that's way more likely to me because I think Mac Jones, even if he is unhappy, which he kind of seems unhappy, and there was
doesn't
some
seem
talk
happy
about that. I just don't think he's going to play that game where he's like trying to take down the greatest coach of all time through sourced reports.
That feels dangerous.
Asante Samuel did it, and he was fine with it. He's still doing it. It's happened over the years here and there, but I don't think Mac Jones is going to do it.
I think it'd be aimed at Matt Patricia, which I think a lot of people would make an easy target out of, and your Mac Jones's career is on the brink right now if this is how it's going to stay.
Yeah, I think like with the Broncos situation, the idea that you would need to drum up some type of media campaign against Hackett would be like some investigative reporter spending 12 months investigating why the ingredients in Burger King aren't good enough.
The tone is like, that we spend the offseason thinking Russell Wilson definitely deserves a second chance.
But it
here.
Doesn't. Like it doesn't.
Because right now we don't think that
don't
about
think
him at all.
It's a story. Right. Because Russell Wilson's not going anywhere. And B, he's not going to lose his job. Like I think they have to have it. He's going to get a second year. And I think it's Hackett that's the easy guy to just cut loose and say, all right, that was bad. This will work better. Russell will be better with this guy. That's going to be
right,
the story around this team.
We view Russell Wilson's career as over, and the Broncos is sabotaged by the worst in-house move they've ever made in our lifetime versus a couple weeks from now, oh, you know what? I'm kind of ready to give Russell Wilson a second chance and a big mulligan on that Nathaniel Hackett disaster. That's what the reporting would come because Russell Wilson's done that. He attempted to do that with the Seahawks in various ways.
Yeah. I think the Broncos, they have to make it work with Russell Wilson, but I understand how you're talking about a PR campaign to help Wilson's image at this point. But
also, he's not good at PR campaigns, Russell Wilson.
No.
And the tape's been so bad on Russell Wilson that there's no way anybody would be credible that it was the coach's fault this year.
I almost think it's gone so poorly, and they are the worst offense in terms of scoring points in 22 years. I mean, that's how bad that. I'm almost worried I'm not going to hit my sandwich prop because he doesn't even need to put source reports out there.
That's what I mean.
It's going anyways.
It is a mess.
And Mac Jones is frustrated like everyone else that follows the Patriots with the play calling. I think they're going to make some fixes there, and Jones will be back as well. So I think it's way more likely that, I don't know. I don't think either is likely at all.
To be in.
But I'd go with...
You gotta pick one.
Wilson's camp undermines the head coach. Just feels
that's more likely.
Just unnecessary.
Mm-hmm.
All right, one more quick one. How about a speed round?
Okay, this one involves a
like real quick.
Oh wait, it was Mark. We only went around once that time.
Do you want to just cut
it?
You want to get out of here?
No, let's do it quick.
All right, quick.
It's fun. It's fun. All right, Tom Brady.
We're having fun.
Tom Brady is announcing games for Fox next year. And so we already kind of hit Brady.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least three of the four hosts on this podcast attend the NFL Christmas party.
All right. Works at Fox.
Well, there are.
There we go.
Brady's playing football next year.
I'm just talking about the hosts.
I think it's way more likely that the three of us attend the NFL Christmas party.
Yeah, okay. I'm a company woman.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think
I've
maybe
been hearing
four.
Some,
I think
you know, some
maybe
skepticism.
Four.
I think four is possible.
Yeah.
Okay. Where is it at again?
Top Golf.
Three of four? Four of four? Somewhere in between there?
Okay. I just thought we will soldier on.
All right, how about this
buzz
one?
Well, you're
between
not
everyone. Everyone got very awkward there. It's tough.
No, I think that's an easy one. I think that's okay. A slam dunk. How about this one along those lines?
Okay.
Sean McVay and Sean Payton switch places. McVay to TV for big money. Payton to the Rams to rebuild the fallen champions. Or the Seahawks get out while the getting is good on Geno. They allow him to get that big contract he deserves in free agency while Seattle can follow their old game plan from back in the day, draft a quarterback that they can control financially, and then build an elite roster around.
The latter. Yes. Hit the buzzer too soon. The latter, because I think that's what their plan was all along. As nice as the Geno story has been.
I think the latter is more likely because I just don't see the McVay-Payton thing possibly happening. That would be a bad job, the Rams job, and I don't think Sean Payton's taking it.
I can't imagine McVay walking away.
And then I also think McVay, because he leveraged interest in from Amazon into a massive raise from the Rams last year, mm-hmm. I don't think he's going to quit now. I think that was a bit of a commitment to make that move. Like, if you're going to make that move, you got to stick around. So I don't see them trading. Mm-hmm. Now, I never thought the Seahawks would take, like, a quarterback high, though. I mean, I think Pete Carroll wants defensive players high.
Don't they have the number two pick
take,
now? Like,
yeah, right. He wants to take second Things or third change. Round picks at
Is this supposed to be a good quarterback draft?
Geno will be a very tricky free agent because someone will pay him huge money. And will the Seahawks, like, give him a Ryan Tannehill $30 million a year type deal? Like, we'll see. Someone will. And if it might not be the Seahawks, you're
yeah.
right.
Seahawks, they get a new quarterback. Okay, here we go. What's more likely? The Steelers rally, winning four of their last five to finish the season with a winning record and preserve Mike Tomlin's streak of 16 straight non-losing seasons. Or, after 11 years of relentless effort against all odds and against the wishes of everyone in this room, Dan successfully brings back into the zeitgeist Charlie Sheen's winning.
I do it alone, or it's more a cultural thing that builds up and bubbles? Because there's got to be more people
well,
like
could be
me
a
out there.
It could be a bricklayer. I mean, it's her what's more likely. But, yeah.
Right.
Wow, winning.
I feel like I'm not alone. You know how they say with the aliens out there, mm-hmm. like, we are not alone? I don't think I'm alone in wanting Sheen to once again grab the zeitgeist.
No, I think you're right. And we were talking about this before the show, so I happen to have this article up here.
I'm sorry.
Charlie Sheen is annoyed by people like you, I think. People have said to me, hey, man, that was cool. That was so fun to watch. That was cool to be a part of, and all that energy and support and sticking it to the man. And my thought is that, oh, yeah, great. I'm so glad that I traded early retirement for an effing hashtag. There were 55 different ways for me to handle that situation, and I chose number 56. And it keeps going on that he calls it a meltdown, and he has a lot of regrets about
it. I mean, I guess Charlie Sheen, like, doing heavy meth has gone worse for more people. Like, you got something out of it. So.
I think that was an extraordinary time in our history. And I think he's speaking to that. Like, how did that even happen?
Right.
A helicopter surrounding my house, waiting on every word that was coming out of my mouth. I think that is more likely that it's back because the people like me want it back. Chaz Sheen at the center of the discourse.
I'd have to agree with you heavily.
I'm going Steelers for sure. If you look at the numbers,
of course you would.
Last month or so, they're like a top 10 team here. Mike Tomlin's got them playing well.
Yeah, they are getting better. Finally, Mark, close it out.
Okay, very quick. Lovie Smith is retained as Texans coach, or three-parter, Cliff Kingsbury is retained as Cardinals coach, or Sean Payton becomes the Chargers coach.
Ooh.
Still learning how to set up the crowd there after all these years.
It's easy to forget.
Speaking of which, everyone should join our crowd on January 18th.
Decent Wednesday.
It's just time we're listening to the people. And then when we do a live show, we've done What's More Likely sometimes, and the crowd
Remember
jumps
when
in.
Mark was just like making them do it even when it wasn't like it wasn't the question? He just wanted the power over the crowd.
I don't remember that.
He wanted the power.
Yeah, he said, I just like to feel the power. And so watch Mark feel the power. January 18th, we're at the Bourbon Room in Hollywood. Tickets are going to sell out at some point. So don't wait until the end.
Yes.
Okay, so I'm going to answer Mark's question.
Oh, because Greg jammed in that transition there?
It's fine.
I'm just saying that.
It's fine.
Let's throw it in.
I just, you know, I felt like Mark was left hanging a little bit there.
Oh, thank you, Colleen.
I sense that Mark's body language seemed to indicate that as well.
No one responded. I would like to thoughtfully respond.
Thank you, Colleen.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
I think that the most likely situation here is that Peyton is the Chargers head coach in 2023. I love that. It's super saucy.
I do, too. I like the idea of the Chargers doing better at that position. And most importantly, something that Sean Payton can't control, just be healthier. Chargers, unbelievable.
I agree. I don't think Cliff is – I think Cliff would be number two on this list. Lovey feels like he's probably not coming back. Cliff is probably not coming back.
And Texans are playing a lot of coaches.
I think
right now.
The Brandon Staley era is on the line these next 2 weeks. So he has the Dolphins Sunday night, and then he's got the Titans the week after that. The schedule's pretty easy after that, but I think there's a chance they go 0-2 here. I think they're inferior in terms of the way they're playing to those two teams. And if they fall to 6-8, they're not going to end up.
Okay,
in the playoffs.
I have one more, just a quick bonus.
Can I just say one thing?
Super quick.
I understand the David Culley situation. They made the decision to move on the Texans and hire Lovie Smith, a veteran who made it to the Super Bowl coach. But at no point were the Texans supposed to be even really competitive this year, I didn't think, and they're going to fire him after 1 year too?
You're also paying like 50 different people full contracts.
I just don't understand why nobody's getting
stuff together
a second year when clearly this team is multiple years away from being competitive. But go ahead, Colleen.
Okay. This one actually goes out to Mark Sessler.
Okay.
What's more likely? In a wild turn of events, the Dolphins get into the mix on the Odell Beckham World Tour. Mike McDaniel sends his best and brightest to the airport to show OBJ what the 305 is all about. First stop, courtside seats to watch the Heat. But en route to the game, disaster strikes as protesters outside FTX Arena swarm their car. 300 crypto bros angry at Larry David for keeping them out of the Bored Ape Yacht Club surround Tua's BMX i8 fully loaded. With options limited at this point, Tua calls an audible, scans the street, searching for answers, dials up a prayer for Mike Gesicki. Mike, you at the game?
Wow, look at this.
Ew, gross. You're drinking eggnog? It's like 80 degrees out. Listen, I need a favor. Tua's quick thinking pays off and impresses Odell. With all hope appeared lost, hundreds of drunk Santas flood the arena parking lot. Oh, shit. SantaCon is this weekend, says Teddy Bridgewater from the back seat. Gesicki leads the pack of rabid St. Nicks, sauced up on Nog and Jello shots, dancing like Jalen Waddle in one-on-one coverage. An orchestrated barf-a-rama ensues, covering the marauding Bitcoin bros in filth. Gesicki springs into action, helping Tua, Teddy, and Odell, and the Dolphins escape unscathed. Y'all crazy. I love Miami, says OBJ, who recalls the story at his introductory press conference the following morning. Or Matt Patricia is the Patriots head coach in 2023.
Ooh, I see how you've done. Oh, you dastardly cat. I like that. There's no way the other thing can happen. So it has to be Odell. That is the more likely scenario. Yes. There's literally no world where Patricia is a head coach in our league ever again.
I love that I'm glad we didn't get out of the show without you reading that. That would have been a lost gem right there. That was a masterpiece.
There's a ghost writer behind the glass that contributed to that.
You don't have to say that. See, we're learning something today that we don't have to always say things just so it makes us look better, you know?
Yeah, but I thought that it would be important to shout this person out.
That's nice.
Who is the person?
It was a collaboration.
Well, we have not named a name, so it could be anyone.
I'm guessing it's a 6'7" man who wears a mask.
Nameless.
And does not speak.
I'm going the Odell scenario because I think Belichick, when he leaves, is going to hand it off to one of his children. He's going to hand it off to Steve, the namesake of the father who wrote the book.
Fly in the ointment, though. They're trying to take the FTX name off of it. You know, they are suing the company.
Staples.
They don't have any money to pay.
Yeah.
The money, it was $135 million amortized over 19 years.
There's no way that was right. But I think it might have been.
That one was right.
SantaCon. All sorts of angles here.
Mark?
I've been to it. I walked into a SantaCon in Northern Cal one time, and it was one of the weirdest three-hour stretches of my life.
No.
I wasn't dressed as that figure, but I was just
there
wandering
for
around
for 3 hours.
Yeah.
All right, let's take a break and hit Thursday Night Football.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this. But Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day. And smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
All right, this TNF preview is presented by Prime Video, the new exclusive home for Thursday night football. All right, we are across the street on Thursday for, you know, a game that on paper looked very good.
A game.
It is a game.
A game will
it,
be played.
It is the Raiders who we've spoken of that are on the on a run right now, looking to make it four in a row, and the Rams, who I guess could have, Connie, and you handle coverage of Thursday Night Football on NFL Network, the Rams that might have Baker Mayfield on the field. I don't know.
Who knows? I'm sure we'll talk about it a couple times during that pregame
ESPN
show.
ESPN indicated he could maybe play Thursday, which seems surprising.
What?
Yeah.
Got to get Baker on the field with no practice reps, having not even knowing the names of his teammates.
Whew. Okay. Yeah. Well, I mean, this is the MJD Bowl, who will be on the show with us, and then he'll go over and do the Rams radio. But the Raiders at this point, they've won three straight. I mean, they dictated a lot against the Chargers in that game. Josh Jacobs, he rushed for almost 150 yards. I mean, Devontae Adams, look, it's a short week, and the Rams are a disaster. So I feel like this one's pretty easy.
The Raiders' defensive line has played great the last couple weeks out of nowhere. Crosby's been great, but their defensive tackles have been playing well. Jerry Tiller, who they picked up from the Chargers, played well. Chandler Jones has as many pressures in the last 2 weeks, 19, as he had in the entire season until the last 2 weeks. Like, he's been dominant in the last 2 weeks. They're, like, single-handedly bringing back the flea flicker. Like, McDaniels is just flea flickering it up, basically.
It.
They got Jakob Johnson, Henry's old friend from the International Pathway Program, blowing up open holes. They're a fun team. They're a fun team that Danny adopted early in the season.
Yeah, and I wrote about this on Power Rankings. How is it possible? They have two legitimate Offensive Player of the Year candidates, Devontae Adams and Josh Jacobs, a leading contender for Defensive Player of the Year in Max Crosby, and they're still two games under despite winning three games in a row. It's almost like, Mark, that maybe the universe is correcting itself and their record is getting back to where it should have always been, which would mean they should paste the Rams. Is this even in the lock zone? I don't lock on Thursday. I got out of that game. But this feels like a double-digit win for the Raiders, and yet they are a hard team to trust even now.
I mean, the six of their losses were one-score losses. They were, like we were talking about, like they're the reverse Vikings. So I think it is correcting itself a little bit. And Devontae Adams has been utterly unstoppable. The Rams have the sixth worst defensive pass DVOA right now. You can throw on them. They do have the fifth best run, though. So that's also, you know, stacked off a whole season. You don't have at this point Aaron Donald. You don't have A'shaun Robinson. You don't have guys that like were meant to be on this team. They have $83.4 million of their salary cap on injured reserve right now.
Oh,
so it's
God.
Like if this Raiders team that we've talked about on the show and on previous shows is turning the corner. You got to come in and stamp the Rams. You got to, because you also, I think, need to tell yourselves you can't get stuck in these close games over and over and over. Can you exert your muscle? Can Davante Adams go out there and absolutely dominate a Rams team that, outside of playing well against Seattle, is slightly like psychologically shattered at this point?
And I think that was their Super Bowl. They were so fired up for that game against
the Seahawks.
For Bobby
Wagner.
Bobby Wagner.
Man, he played so well.
He played so well. He's played great all season. That was one move they made that totally worked. Like, Bobby Wagner's been great, but that can only do so much. They found a guy in Michael Hecht, I don't know who it is, playing defensive tackle for them. So they're trying to find some players that step up. But I was really interested to hear McVay after the game. He said this has been the most challenging thing that he had ever gone through. And that felt like an emotional game that they almost won. And now this might be a letdown game where they lose by 30. Gravedigger, we do have McVay, because it was wild like how much soul searching he is doing right now.
Being honest, I think you acknowledge some insecurities that maybe you didn't think you have, that this forces you to reflect on. And are you really foundationally secure in the things that really matter, or do you let some of the outside in narratives affect your being, or some of these results affect the way that you approach things? And to say that there hasn't been rough moments where some of that doubts occurred, I'd be lying to you guys.
That's why I don't, like, wow. I really question, and not from a talent angle or careers are different. We don't all want to do the same thing forever. But like, McVay does not strike me as a 35-year coach, because if you go back to the feature that was written on him before the season, he just carries and puts so much weight on himself and he gets so stressed. And so, yeah, this is the most challenging season, because frankly, with the Rams as a head coach, he's had it pretty easy. He's been given things most head coaches aren't. And he's been given a lot of shiny things in L.A. and a new stadium and a lot of attention from the league and a lot of praise. Mm-hmm. And the floor's fallen out, and it's going to be more challenging. You're playing third and fourth string guys and trying to make something out of a lost season.
Insecurities you didn't think you had was like the line there. I was like, oof.
I like
that
the
was
honesty.
Telling.
Yeah, I do too. I appreciate it.
All right. That was the TNF preview presented by Prime Video. The new era of Thursday Night Football is officially here, and it's only on Prime Video. So check that game out. Check out Colleen Wolfe on NFL Network.
I'll be there
on Thursday. And that wraps up a Beefy Tuesday show. We'll be back on Thursday with a...
Should we just stay until Thursday?
A full preview of Week 14. And yes, as Greg mentioned, we have our live show, the ATN Homecoming Show from Hollywood, Wednesday, January 18th at the Bourbon Room in Hollywood. Limited tickets remain. Justin, how do people get to those tickets to buy them?
Well, the link is in our Instagram bio right now. You can just click that link. Or if you want to go to Ticketmaster.com and search Around the NFL, it's the only result that pops up. Pretty simple. If you want to go, find the link. There you go.
What if multiple results popped up? That would be concerning to me.
Be confusing.
Will the lovely Jessica be in attendance at the Bourbon Room?
She is planning to be in attendance, yes.
Interesting. You hear that, Mark?
Well, she had a starring role. She was the last person to leave the stage at our London show. I have a great picture of Dan and Jessica arm in arm
stage.
Waving goodbye to the crowd.
Do you trust her, Justin, around tumblers of bourbon?
Of course. I trust her in any situation.
Jessica plus tumblers of bourbon could be trouble for Justin.
She was a natural on that stage.
Sounds fun, guys. Really.
Where did it go? I lost my train of thought in your conversation. What are you talking about, drinking with Justin's living girlfriend?
No, I'm saying, does he trust Jessica at the Bourbon Room and just big tumblers of bourbon?
Is this a White Lotus plotline? What do you got going on over there in that brain of yours?
Hey, spoilers.
I'm just asking where he's coming from.
Sorry.
Just know that Mark might be plotting something, and just be prepared.
I'm always prepared for
which
Mark.
One of us is waltzing around stage with her after our show? I mean, and who was behind stage talking to Greg? That was Mark.
So what's more likely?
I mean, you did just say on the program that her with some alcohol around could be trouble for Justin. That was an exact quote.
I stick by that.
Thank you to everybody for listening. Yes, till Thursday, heed the call.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah, and some waves so we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby.
Wait. Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.